In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel offers me with so much to say. If you've looked at your bulletin, I am very impressed with what our Lord says right there at the beginning of today's Gospel, that blessed are you because you have seen me. So many have desired to see what these disciples have seen and have not been able to see it. And the first thought is, Christ was a man. He looked like every other man. There was nothing special until he was transfigured up on Mount Tabor. But as he walked upon this earth, everybody saw him as just another man. These disciples had seen him just as a man. But our Lord is saying that they have seen something more. They have seen with the eyes of their soul. And this, my dear friends, is something that we must learn to see. And actually, with the eyes of faith, we have seen it. Our Lord is present in the Blessed Eucharist. And for all those who believe, we have seen with eyes that the prophets have longed to see, and were not given that privilege. I think all too often we fail to realize exactly what graces we have received and how wonderful it is to be alive today. For before Christ came in the Old Testament, that law was the law of death, as St. Paul tells us in today's epistle. That law of death was a condemnation. There was no healing remedy. There was no bringing back to life. The law in the Old Testament just declared, you're dead. Okay, that's it. With the New Testament, Christ has instituted the sacrament of penance. You are dead in mortal sin. You examine your own conscience. You come, present yourself to the priest, and you're given life again. A chance to start again. But now we come to the question of this man wishing to tempt our Lord, to test him. Who is my neighbor? And what must I do with my neighbor? How must I act towards my neighbor? Obviously, I know I must love my neighbor as myself. I must desire all the good that I desire for myself, for my neighbor. And if I desire to go to heaven, I should desire that my neighbor should go to heaven. If I desire that I should do everything to get myself in heaven, I should desire that I should give everything my neighbor needs to help him get to heaven. But this generally becomes a two-edged sword. For it's easy for us to look at one another and find the faults in each other. It's easy for us to point the finger and condemn this one or that one. It's very difficult for us to point the finger at ourselves. And especially when it comes to matters of our faith. I'll let you in on just a little private thing that I thought was kind of funny. But there's a little old lady, and she's not very good at keeping up with the rosary. Her mind gets distracted. And everybody else is going on with the rosary, and now the rosary is finished, and she loudly declares that she is not satisfied that she has said the rosary. And someone pointed out to the lady that she didn't say the rosary for her own satisfaction. I've seen people who come to Mass and say they were not satisfied because there was so much distraction going on in church. They're not satisfied. They don't feel complete. And it's very true. Do we pray so that we feel good? Is that why we come to God? So that He makes us feel good? That we feel satisfied? We fulfilled our obligation? You pat ourselves on the back? I'm good. Is that why we come to Mass? Is that why we pray? It's so easy for us to say, well, I couldn't pray because this one was acting up in church. This one came in. Did you see how that one was dressed? And we could go on and on and on. The little children don't know how to behave. The old people can't be quiet. And this one came in late. And the children was crying. Can't the parents take him out? In Kentucky we have a cry room. Can't they take them to the cry room? All kinds of complaints, all kinds of reasons why I can't pray, why I'm not satisfied that I came to Mass and fulfilled my obligation, and it's always somebody else's fault. And I ask you, just read the lives of the saints. How many of those saints went into ecstasies and people came up and would smack them on the back of the head, would pinch them, and they couldn't distract them from their prayers, could they? When our hearts and minds are focused upon God, nothing else really matters. And I know this is true even from my own experience. The day of my consecration, outside under that tent, there was a helicopter going over, making all kinds of noise. And everybody says, "Did you hear that helicopter? Did you hear that helicopter? Did you hear all that noise?" And I could say, "No, I didn't." But I went back and watched the videos. I listened to it. Oh yeah, it was definitely, there was a helicopter there. But at that time, my mind was so occupied that I didn't realize it was there. And so often people will come to me, "Did you see so-and-so?" I don't remember seeing anyone. "Well, they came to communion." Well, I give communion. I don't look and see who it is. I don't take them. I come. If our mind is focused upon God, as it should be, we're not noticing who went to communion, who didn't go to communion, who folded their hands properly, who came back, who was talking, who was chewing gum, how they were dressed. None of that will really matter. If we're not focused upon our prayers, we're going to find all kinds of reasons to blame somebody else. So I'm encouraging you. The next time you want to come and complain to me, I'm going to be thinking, you weren't focused very well, were you? You weren't praying very well because you were noticing all these other things. I don't think of the other person's fault, I think of yours. So save yourself some time. Unless you want me to humiliate you, then you can come and I'll remind you of what I said. Pay attention. Focus. I've heard people tell me that children should not sit up front, they should sit in back. I've actually told families, "Bring your children up in the front pew. I want them up front where they can see. You put them in the back and all these adults are sitting in front of them, they can't see what's going on. They can't hear. What's left for them to do but fidget?" I think they should be up front where they can focus. Obviously, they can't understand what's going on because we can't understand. It's a mystery. But it is a solemn mystery. It is an impressive mystery. And if we can teach them to look upon this mystery with eyes of awe, they will never be tired of it. They will be eager to come and see our Lord when they become impressed with the idea that Christ comes upon our altar just as He descended from heaven into that little stable of Bethlehem. He comes upon our altar at every Mass. And the solemnity, the seriousness that He sees upon the altar, she sees upon the altar, should be enough. And it should be enough for us. Our prayers should develop from there. And we should be asking ourselves to share with God, to be one with Him. He has come down to us, wishing for us to come to Him. And if we spend all our time looking at each other, we forget about God. If you really love your neighbor, you will notice their faults. You're going to notice their defects. But if you really love them, you seek to help them, not crush them. You seek not to go and tattletale, get them in trouble. You seek to lend them a helping hand. I've often wondered how many women who come to me complaining about somebody else's children. You know, when a woman comes in with four or five children, you know, this whole little slew of kids, and this one's misbehaving, and that one's misbehaving, and those women come and say, you know, she should take better care of her children, she should discipline her children. How many women have ever gone over and said, hey, can I help you? Is there something I can do for you? Is there some way I can help? I see your hands are full. But no. We'll sit very pietistically pretending we're praying all while we're fuming with anger and frustration. I say it's time to let go of that. I remind so many parents, so many people in positions of authority, yes, if you have a job, that means you must judge. You represent God to your children, to your subordinates. They are commanded by God in the fourth commandment to respect you, to honor you, to obey you as they do God. That puts a very heavy burden on your shoulders. You have to watch over them like a hawk, picking up every little defect, not to destroy them, but to correct them, to admonish them, to redirect their energies. And I think that we all must become one another's parents. But to become those parents that are motivated by love and not anger, who are not looking for their own satisfaction. You see, when your children, your subordinates, slight you or disrespectful to you, are you angry because they have disrespected you? Or are you upset because these individuals have offended God and have disobeyed the fourth commandment? There's a big difference. And there's a big difference in how we discipline, how we react to that. When we feel the pain ourselves, more likely we're ready to strike back in anger. We're going to teach those children a lesson. Let them know a piece of our mind. For what end? So that I feel better? I feel satisfied I got that off my chest? Or have I corrected as God would correct? Have I tried to heal, redirect, save this soul that's going astray? What has been my motivation? I ask you all to contemplate that. And then ask yourself, how has God treated me when I spat upon him as he was carrying his cross, when I drove those nails into his hands and feet, when I scourged him in my thoughts, in my desires, in my words, in my actions, in my omissions, as I inflicted all this humiliation upon him, all this pain, all this suffering. How did God react to me? Did he shake his fist at me and say, I'm going to get you? Did he yell and scream at me? Did he give us a piece of his mind? Our Lord hung there upon the cross after we had done all of this to him, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I believe this is the attitude that we must take towards each other. We must pray all the harder. When someone slights us, someone offends us, we must pray all the more fervently. For them, begging God to have mercy on them and not to hold this charge against them. Because truly, when I consider my own sins, I think I have deserved more than this. I have deserved worse than this. I can surely put up with this slight, with this humiliation, with this rebuke, with this insubordination. I can put up with this. Because I've deserved this and more. And all I have to do is ask parents, remember when you were that age? There's a saying that you get back in spades what you dished out as a child. And we admonish children, be very careful how you treat your parents, because it's going to come back and get you. It's going to haunt you. You get what you pay for. You invest all this rebellion right now, it's going to come back and get you. But I admonish parents, superiors, to think of themselves and to be patient. Yes, your children are going to sin. Your friends, your neighbors, your family, they're going to sin. They're going to, more than likely, sin very seriously. They're going to humiliate you as a parent or superior. They're going to embarrass you. They're going to make your life very bitter. There's a saying, when children are little, they walk on your feet. As they grow bigger, they begin to walk on your heart. It's very true. But we have done the same to our parents. We have done the same to God. We deserve this, and we deserve more. And we should thank God that we've got as good as children or subordinates as we do have. Or it could always have been worse. And we have deserved worse. And then consider, God has forgiven me. God has pardoned me very freely. All He asks is that I come and humbly acknowledge my fault to Him, tell Him I'm sorry, and the priest is ready to say, I absolve you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go in peace. Sin no more. What could be easier? Let us forgive each other with such ease, such eagerness. Let us be like the Samaritan and not see our neighbor suffering, but go to his aid, like the Samaritan. Go there, pick him up, make his problems your own. When you see your neighbor sin, consider it as if you yourself had sinned, and pray fervently for them. This is what all the great saints have done. I'm so intrigued when I read St. Francis and others. When they saw the criminals going to their execution, would say, I am more guilty than that man. For if that man had received all the graces I received, he would be much better than I am. And if I had been exposed to that man's life, I would be much worse than he is. And I think we can all say that. If we examine our conscience honestly enough, we can say, God has given me more graces than I could ever imagine. Countless graces, and how many I have abused. If I had been more faithful, I would be much better off than I am now. We can look at our fellow man, our fellow sinners, and say, if I had been in that man's shoes, I probably would have been much worse. And I look at myself. My mother and father are still together. After all these years, they raised a large family. And I see so many children without one parent or the other, separated, divorced, all kinds of trouble. And I think, how in the world are these children going to survive? And I see so many of these children get into trouble. And I can say, yes, I don't know what I would have turned out like if I hadn't had both parents at home. What would it have been like for me if my mother wasn't there in the kitchen when I got home every single day, day in and day out? How would I have turned out? If I had not learned to say the rosary, kneeling next to my mother, or actually hanging on her, what would my life have been? I'm susceptible to the same temptations as everyone else. I'm certain I would have been much worse than I am now. And I think each one of us, no matter what difficulties we have in our lives, we can say the same thing. When we look at our fellow man and say, if I had been in that person's shoes, I probably would have been much worse than I am now. And so I have a reason to thank God for the graces that He has given me, not with pride and vanity, but in all humility, that I've not deserved this. And I think we can all do the same. We have much to be grateful for, and we have all the more reason to be charitable towards one another, to love one another, to correct each other gently, kindly, as we would wish to be corrected, to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.